Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the best Survivor podcast you've ever heard in your goddamn life. Mike White was robbed. I'm Naomi Calhoun, but more importantly, this is a podcast about Survivor, hot takes, opinions that get you kicked out of the group chat. Well, today I have a very special guest. He is the host of the Hot Takes podcast on the Reality Pop Network and part of the incredible and television-changing Survivor Diversity Campaign. I have Andrew here. Andrew Denson, what is up and how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for the very nice introduction. I think that it was more other people in the Survivor Diversity Campaign that changed television, as you might say, but I appreciate being a part of that long journey. And yes, I do host Reality Survivor Hot Takes on Reality Pop, and it's been a lot of fun so far. Check it out. Amazing. YouTube, Spotify, iTunes.
There you go. Well, this is very exciting. From one hot take expert to another, we're going to have a great fucking podcast. I can already tell. Andrew, you were also part of Survivor New York Season 5, but that isn't out yet. So you'll just have to wait a little bit. Everybody who's listening, circle back to the YouTube channel later in the year, maybe? But for now, Andrew, I want to talk hot Survivor takes with you. I cannot wait. What is it that we're going to be discussing today?
First off, for anyone that listens to my show, everyone knows my opinions on this, my biggest hot take. And that is, and especially in the org and LRG community, there's this phrase that gets thrown around a lot, and it's very annoying. And that's the robbed king or queen title that people get.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
There has only been one person in the history of Survivor that's ever been truly robbed, and that's Serene Game Changers. Any other person that the internet has deemed robbed based off of because they like them or because the person that they felt was less deserving won or whatever, there are moments in their game that led to them just losing. Sometimes people just lose. It happens. As a coach, I have lost a lot in life. As an org player, I have lost a lot in life. I've never felt robbed. I've always felt like, man, I really screwed up there, or wow, this person made a great move in doing this. But I've never sat there and thought, you know what? You guys are right. I am a robbed king, or that this person is a robbed queen, or whatever it is. So off of that, my opinion is also that there has never been a non-deserving Survivor winner, no matter what people like to say. And I do Survivor winners rankings, and Chris Underwood is at the bottom of my list. Oh, but wow. I don't think that he didn't deserve to win because he did what he needed to do to win at the end.
Look, the jury is the parameters, not your opinion on Reddit. I mean, Andrew, it's so great in so many ways, and we just got to begin right away at the top. Sari was the only person who was robbed. And I assume you're talking about Game Changers, unless you're talking about Micronesia. It's interesting. It could be either game in changers. Many ways.
I'm going Game Changers. Yeah, it's like, did Micronesia annoy me with the final two twists? Yeah, I understood why they did it. It sucks, but it is what it is. It was in the realms of what was happening in the game. They knew about it, and they did what they had to do. I think that everyone is kind of in the same boat of, if Parvati or Amanda had won, they would have voted out Serene no matter what. Because one, they were buddy-buddy, but two, they understood that she was probably going to beat them. I get it. And heroes versus villains, she's idled out. Not a big deal. Idled out happens a lot. In Panama, she loses the fire making challenge, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
I'm pretty sure I'm right. So she loses the fire making challenge. Game Changers is a totally different story, because by this point, production has started saying, hey, you know what the fans really like? Advantages and big moves. And I wish I could type out big moves for all of you to see it, but I spell it like the meme does, with like capital lower, because I like the SpongeBob meme. Lot. Yeah.
And does it have a Z on the end?
Yes, because it's embarrassing, the fact that, and it's going to sound like I'm attacking org players. I'm not. I'm an org player. It's embarrassing the fact that people zero in on these big moves in the show and not realize that especially in the big moves era, there's probably been like two winners that really encapsulated that big moves mentality. And that's like Tony and maybe Ben, but we can't say Ben because they hate Ben. They don't want to talk about Ben. They're really flimsy on who they like and who they, oh, I like flashy players. Oh, do you like Russell Hands? No, I hate him. It's like, well, I thought you liked flashy players. Like you can't just pick and choose what, you know, what flashiness you like and what flashiness you don't, when in reality, you know, you're out here saying, I want this. This is the type of stuff I want. And then they give you that. They give you the Russell, or they give you the Tony, or people like that. And you're like, oh, I don't like that. It's like, but I thought you liked big moves. That's what you've asked for. So Game Changers, they gave us more than what we asked for. Like, hey, you want big moves and all of these advantages? Here's 1,000. Here's all the idols that you'll ever ask for until next season, where we add even more. And we get to that final six, and Brad Culpepper wins immunity. Troy Zan, who's still there, has his immunity idol. Ty has one, gives one to Aubrey as well. Sarah has the legacy advantage. And you have Porcery, who doesn't get a vote. She doesn't even get a vote during this tribal and has to go home on a default because everyone else, had idols from the beginning or whatever. And, you know, I've never come across someone that hasn't agreed with me on this, that Suri just got screwed in that situation. And then they'll just say, oh, it's similar to how this person got screwed in this season. It's like, no, not the same. Not the same because she didn't have any votes cast against her. Period.
I feel like it's such a destruction of what Survivor is. If this vote ends with, by the way, there's literally nobody else you can vote for, so by default you're going home. Like that's crazy. You know, that's an insane happenstance. And at least in Second Chances, like that whole sort of chaotic vote was like there were options still. It was like Kimmy or Keith, right? One of those two. Survivor got so broken during Game Changers because of all the advantages, because of everything that happened. And this to me, just like, I don't really have a problem with big moves in Survivor, and I don't have a problem with small moves. What I have a problem with is Jeff Probst. Yes. My problem with Jeff Probst is, and like this season too, the idols that you had to publicly declare, I wasn't a huge fan of, but that makes it interesting because it's like, okay, you know they have an idol, so maybe it like takes it down one notch. But then the do or die twist, I fucking hated. And this is all to say that like Jeff Rose keeps throwing these things in there that we have seen, oh my god, I gotta do math real quick, 34 to 8 seasons ago, that didn't work and made the game too complicated and had shitty results, and we're still throwing so much shit at the fan. I can't believe it. Oh my god. But yeah, I fundamentally, a vote where it ends in just a like, hey, you, this person like has to go home, there's no other option, is like broken. The game is broken, and that's bad.
And it sucks because, and I could sit here and say that this was her best chance at winning, when, you know, for all we know, she could have gone home at 5. I can't say that for sure, that this was her best chance at winning. But the optics kind of gave like the story that, oh yeah, Cerise finally going to win this thing. After all this time, Cerise finally going to win this thing. And we get to that tribal and, you know, all these idols are being played. And I remember initially watching it, and I think at this point I had probably turned on the season, like a lot of other people had. But I'm like, okay, this is going to be the saving grace. Like something's going to happen here, but it doesn't involve Suri getting home because she didn't have any votes to cast against her. And when that happened, you know, I was in the feels because of the moment, you know, thank you, Suri, and everyone applauding her and all. I'm like, oh, this is adorable. And then as soon as the episode's over, I'm like, wow, fuck this. Like at this point, it's like Sarah's gonna win this. All right, let's get through the end. Ugh. So we can move on to 35. Yes, we won't go down that road. But I wasn't hurt. I don't want to put it that out there, but I was annoyed that they didn't plan for that. Like, I feel like default shouldn't be an option in Survivor. Even if, like, so I guess in my opinion, if all those idols get played and whatever, they just, you know, call it a wash. They go home. No one gets voted out. They run it back the next day. Let's run another immunity challenge or whatever. But I feel like if a person doesn't get any votes, they shouldn't go home unless it's a fire making challenge, which I actually don't hate. Another mini hot take. But yeah, I don't hate the fire making challenge. It's fine. Whatever.
At Final Four or just in general?
At Final Four.
I almost don't know if I agree with the idea of, like, well, Suri can be voted for, so technically you do a revote and then they'd all vote for her, which is just fucked up. But it is one of those things where it's like, how could this happen? How do we allow this to happen in the game?
Let it happen, and yeah.
To me, like, I know we ask a lot from Survivor with good reason, with intentions of being like, this will make the show better. And obviously it has. And I think that's something that we should be asking for is, like, not necessarily less advantages, less idols, but just, like, fucking think about it a little more. Oh, my God. Make the idols expire. Like, I don't know. Like, the fact that it was, like, okay, a legacy advantage, and we're going to add this in. It was, like, I don't – like, why are they doing so much and giving out so much immunity? I guess maybe they thought that it would be, like, a – probably, like, protect your fave, protect Malcolm and Tony until the end or something like that, even though they go home pre-merge.
Yeah, they go pre-merge. and that's a good thing about Game Changer. Like, I actually enjoyed the joint tribal council that they did. That's one of my favorite.
Yeah, I like that twist. Ever.
That's a twist that I enjoyed. I didn't enjoy the fact that they swapped twice, because I think that's how Sandra got screwed, not robbed. She got screwed. And I liked the legacy advantage, but everything involving that one tribal just always leaves a bad. And I'm rewatching Game Changers right now because I hate myself.
Oh my and God.
I am at Final Seven. So I think Andrea is about to go home. Yeah, I think now. And then we're going to get to that six. And I'm already just buckling in for, you know, to be hurt again.
Ride of your life.
Yes. And so if on twist, and you were just talking about 41, when we get to the what is it called? The time turner twist, the one that Erica had, what was it called?
Yeah. I think to me that in my brain, I just consider that smashing the hourglass. Like, I don't even know what that's really called.
Yeah. The hourglass twist. That's exactly what it is. I think it was a bad idea. What made it worse was that they made it a cliffhanger to end an episode. When everyone who was even has a passing knowledge of Survivor knows she is very clearly going to smash the hourglass. She probably smashed it as soon as it was introduced to her. And they kind of said, hey, sit here and say all this stuff about it while we kill for time, or, you know, kill for time. And it's like, okay, you didn't have to do all, you could have easily had her smash the hourglass and started the episode, you know, wondering, oh, how are these people going to react, instead of like starting the episode like, oh, the fans won't know if she smashed or not. I'm like, yes, we all know. It's 100%. Everyone already knows she smashed the glass. There's no way she didn't. So going to your point of they don't think things through, that's a prime example in our most recent season. And my fear is that because they haven't heard the backlash about the twist in 41, that's exactly what we were going to get in 42.
Mm.
We're going to get an hourglass. We're going to get all of these crazy advantages that don't, you know, aren't the best for the game and really aren't the best television, except for the do or die was actually pretty fun to watch because I'm like, this better not happen. But yeah. I still hate the twist.
I really feel like when you think about Survivor, and I've talked about this before, like, when, like, Chris, Lord, and I make Survivor New York, like, we think so much about, like, what are the pros and cons of what we're proposing? What are the rewards and what are the risks? And I think that's something that, like, I actually kind of want to talk about a little bit more is, like, I kind of hate the legacy advantage. I kind of hate it because it incentivizes you to either, like, be really nice to somebody and watch them get voted out or betray them like Sarah and then... if they have it, then they kind of like cruise, you know what I mean? Like It feels like no matter whose hands it ends up in the end, it's not a satisfying achievement because either they got it, two rounds ago and suddenly they have an immunity idol out of nowhere, or it's somebody that's just been holding on to it forever and we know that that's never really exciting. Or it's just kind of like, oh, you just voted out your friend and they'll never know that that's why you did it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was kind of like, some people really like that kind of blindside stuff, but I just kind of watched it and I was like, oh, okay, like she just fucked over Sierra to be safe at Final Six. It just is like it's kind of an icky taste. I don't know. I don't, and it didn't really work out either in Millennials vs. Gen X when it was introduced because it basically like didn't matter. Ken wasn't really gonna go home that round, I don't believe. And
No.
they did it in Ghost Island, right? Where Jacob gives it to Morgan, who gives it to.
Yeah, I think that the Legacy of Engine that season like touched a few hands. I'm also doing a Ghost Island rewatch for my Wendell episode next week. So yeah, Ghost Island's been a slog. But yeah, I think the Legacy Advantage, I think the best version of that has been and actually in Game Changers, which pains me to say, but Sarah played it off very well. She had the dumb look on her face, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe
Yeah, she did
Sierra
the only
voted
sort of
out.
interesting thing you could do
Oh,
with it.
shucks. Sierra, I swear on Jesus' tears that I didn't do it. And so Sierra, fucks off, leaves Sarah. Oh yeah, I hope that wasn't her that voted for me. And going off your point of icky taste, when we get to that final tribal, this is one of, in my opinion, it's one of the more uncomfortable final tribals, just because if we just remove all out of game context, I felt really bad for Sarah because it did seem like people were attacking her during that final tribal. Like, oh man, like you played us, you pretended to be our friend, and
Yeah.
you hurt my feelings. And one of the reasons I love Michaela Bradshaw so much is because she stepped up and said, y'all are just mad that she played you,
Yeah.
and she did it in a way that you didn't feel like crap until basically right now. She made the social bonds that she needed. She did what she had to do, and she got there. Like I said, removing all out of game context, I loved Sarah's win in this season, and I think that she was wrongly attacked in the realm of the game for a lot of the stuff that she did. And we even see that in season 40 and the secret scene with her and Kim by the well,
Yeah.
where she talks about having PTSD because everyone from her season hated her because of how she played the first time. And that's one of those moments where, once again, you see, yes, these people are real. This stuff really impacts them in their real life. And I felt horrible for her. Now, if we add context outside of the game, it's like, okay, yeah, whatever.
I feel that then.
shucks.
Well, I mean, I think that I'm also a believer that in Survivor, like you do what you have to do, and like you're gonna lie to people. Like lying to people, I feel like I don't really get sort of my knickers in a bunch about. I loved when Harry on Australian Survivors lied about having a kid. That's one of my favorite things anyone's ever done on Survivor because it's so pointless and it's so hard to maintain, especially on like a 50-day Australian season. But he did it anyway. You gotta stand up for the guy. But there is the part of like the legacy advantage that is just separated from like what Sarah did, because what Sarah did is kind of like cool manipulation and somehow she got away with being like what at the tribal council, and she kind of utilized it, right? You know that the person only needs to believe up until the moment they write it down on the piece of paper that you didn't vote for them to give you the advantage. It doesn't matter if as long as they believe it walking right out the door and then it's done. But this is to say that I think the legacy advantage is like not a great advantage for the post-merge. Maybe it's interesting in the pre-merge if somebody gets voted out with it or can carry it into the very first merge vote. Like they have it expired, like final nine and final six or something, one of
It's
those
final
things.
13 and final six.
Right. So like final 13, why not make it like final nine and then not have it at final six? Like I don't. The fact that it's at final six to me, I feel like is such a mistake on the part of the game designers. And I think that's the first, like, one of the many, like, reasons that, like, this is bullshit and what happened to Saria is bullshit. I also think that, like, I don't know, like, the Ty having two idols, look, good for Ty, good for everybody here, but I think it's so funny that Ty, like, plays his two idols in this moment. Like, he could have just let, like, the vote be between Aubrey and Suri, and Suri probably still goes. Like, if you're looking, I know that not everybody was aligned with Suri, but if you're looking at, like, hey, who's the bigger threat? It's the woman who almost won a season.
Clearly, well, Suri, yeah.
Technically, they both almost won a season of Survivor. But I feel like Suri is the bigger threat in this moment than Aubrey, who hasn't really done much this season. And that's not her fault or any means. Like, that's just Aubrey objectively had not had as many moments on her hashtag resume.
She also, yeah.
But it's, I don't know why Ty, like, Ty playing the two idols, I feel like, is like, oh my, fucking get it, Ty. You have two idols in your pocket. Like, chill out.
Look at him. He's so adorable. He plays his little two idols. Like, everything has to do with Ty. It's just like, oh, look at him. He's playing idols and he's climbing trees and all that. And I never, and that's probably very rude because I do take the guy seriously. I just, he's just a cute old man that does things like that.
He loves flowers.
Oh, Sia's giving him money. That's amazing. Don't you love Sia?
not really. Oh, Sia. Sia really said, I'm going to make a movie about autism and be as insensitive as possible. And she really did that.
I have not heard about that.
Oh, but when we're done with this podcast, look, anyone who hasn't looked it up, highly recommend. She made a movie with Maddie Ziegler from Dance Moms about how music and dance help people with autism. And it is wildly insensitive. Just a fun one. And Sia will not apologize. she is firmly in the camp of my art is successful and I did a good job. So any other thoughts on, like, the actual robbery of Suri? Because I'll actually, something I'm thinking about is the idea of other people being robbed. Because I agree with what you said much earlier, like, when you get voted out, you did something to get voted out. Whether it was early on you weren't helpful around camp or you weren't good in the challenges, or later on you weren't part of the alliance, or in the end you made too many big moves, or you have a good story and you didn't manage your threat level enough and now you are a good winner. And I don't think that there's any excuse for getting voted out like fourth or third that, like, the idea of robbed makes it sound like those people took it away from you, but realistically you took it away from yourself. Now, Mike White was still robbed, but that's my sort of thinking on, like, the idea of being robbed. I don't think it's true. I don't think that you can be robbed by other people in Survivor. The whole idea is that you're voting people out.
Yeah. The whole idea is to lie and cheat. I mean, you don't have to, but to lie and not cheat because you can't, but things like that in order to, you have to use nefarious means to get people out of the game. Now, whether the fans like it or not really doesn't matter. And sorry, fans, it, like, your opinion does not matter. And if you think that it does, then once again, oh, so you're a Russell Hance fan, huh? And if you say no, then yes, your opinion does not matter. So, you know, them going into Final Tribal or whatever it is, and your favorite person not winning, guess what? You weren't on the island. You don't get to decide who you deem to be the winner, you know, in the realms of what actually happened. The only people that get to do that are the jury. Production doesn't even get to do that. And we know there's been plenty of times where production's been plenty peeved at who has won the game compared to who they wanted to win. I don't want to come off as overly negative towards the fandom, because I love the fandom. I love being a part of this fandom. But it's just certain people, it's certain groups that they just can't get off of their robbed god, goddess, or, you know, this jury was bitter. It's like, so what? So what? That's the game they were playing. If you knew that the jury was going to be bitter, if you knew that this might potentially piss somebody off, don't do it. Go about it a better way.
Are you saying that I shouldn't have donated to the Give Xander $1 million GoFundMe?
Yes, you should not have.
No, I didn't. I swear to God, I didn't.
I was about to say, did you? Like, that would be super surprising if you did.
That would be really funny, though, if I just full heel turned and was like, no, I want Xander to win. Like, well, no. Another white man needs to win Survivor.
Me and Naomi were at the same finale party.
Yes.
And everyone there thought Deshaun or Erica. Everyone there. And so Erica winning, cool. Like, I am cool with Erica winning the game. What I didn't expect was, outside of my little bubble that I was in there, for me to go on social media or even my casual Survivor friends saying, oh my gosh, Xander was robbed and this show was rigged for the woman to win and all this other stuff. It's like, what? I just spent 3 hours parting with these people and no one there said anything, and I'm getting updates from the actual finale party, you know, that Wendell and Bryce hosted, and it didn't seem like anyone there hated it. But then you get online and it's like everyone, a certain group of folks don't like the fact that Erica won, and they think that Xander was out here making all these big moves. And, you know, he didn't have the idol and, you know, all this other stuff. And it's like, any fan that watches the show religiously or even less than a little bit knew that it was either going to be Erica and Deshaun. And I feel like a lot of people just knew it was going to be Erica. And, you know, the fact that there was a GoFundMe for Xander, and it almost pained me to say that I liked Xander, because I did like Xander. But after all the stuff started coming out from his fans, I felt kind of sick saying, oh man, okay, I like Xander, but, because at that point it's just like, oh, but then why are you not on board with this? Like, because he wasn't robbed. The jury voted how the jury voted. That's it. And it's like he got like lost by a vote. He didn't get any votes.
Like, sometimes I feel that juries are unfair to certain players, and sometimes I feel that it's situations like, to me, something like Brenda not giving Dawn her vote after doing that terrible jury speech to her is like, that's just like kind of fucked up. Look, but you know, you vote how you want to vote, right?
Yes.
I also think that in the end, like, and jury votes as well, like, you can argue Mike White robbed himself in some ways. You can argue that, like, Nick also played a pretty good game, I guess. But this is to say that, like, in Survivor 41, for example, like, the dude had an idol forever. And, like, there was a certain point where I don't know how much Australian Survivor you're watching right now, but, like, there's somebody with an idol. And everybody keeps talking about trying to flush that person's idol. Like, the minute somebody gets it, they're like, we got to get it out of here. And the fact that on this show, on 41, nobody talked about it. Nobody was like, we got to get rid of Xander's idol. He's too powerful. Nobody gave a shit about his idol. It was crazy. Nobody cared whatsoever. And to me, I think it's just a bigger indicator of, like, yeah, like,
how he was being perceived.
Yeah, nobody was this was a kid. I also think there's an interesting thing in Survivor of, like, age and how very, very rarely will the youngest person on the season win. And it's mostly because, like, you know, if I got $1 million at 19, 20, I wouldn't know what the fuck to do with it. Like, and I wouldn't want to give at this age somebody who's 20 years old $1 million. But that's, I think, just a more subconscious thing that happens in Survivor. That's all to say, let's segue into talking about why every winner is a winner, because I agree with this take. I fully believe in this. And even though some winners might frustrate me or some winners' games are not as, like, impressive to me, the jury picks who the jury picks, and you get what you get, and you don't get upset, or you get very upset.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can start with, if we can work forward or we can work backward. I'm gonna start in the middle.
I'm on the ride. Don't worry about it. You just take.
Natalie White. We'll start right with Natalie White. Initially watching the season, I didn't know who was going to win at Final Three, but I knew it wasn't going to be Russell, because of it just seemed like that's how it was turning out. Like, it didn't seem like the jury was going to do that. And once again, once the finale happened, Natalie wins. I'm sitting there, I think by myself, or maybe my college dorm at that time. I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. And then I get online 10 years later, because I didn't know the Survivor online community existed at that point. So when I start doing my rewatches, you know, during COVID, and I'm looking online to see how winners are being perceived, and everyone is shitting on Natalie White and saying, oh, the jury was just bitter because Russell outplayed them. It's like, well, no, because there have been situations where Tom Westman outplayed everyone in Palau and he got all but one vote. You know, we had Richard Hatch outplaying everyone in Borneo and he got all but three votes. So it's not the fact that Natalie or that Russell, you know, outplayed them. That's why they were, but it's a lot of other things that, one, we don't see on the show, but two, you know, things like the Eric Cardona vote, which will always be my favorite jury speech of all time because he's clearly drunk. And also I just love it. And he's saying, like, why should a person like Natalie, you know, someone that's deemed as weak, not be, you know, admonished for what she had to do to get the end, because she's still sitting at the end and they're not. And why do we have to praise, you know, Russell, who's out here doing all this crazy stuff, and Mick, who's like there? Why is it always like that? Why is it always that perception that the deemed weak person was literally just along for the ride? And so I love watching that final tribal because it's fun watching Russell Hantz lose, but also I love that speech in general of, hey, this show is not about big moves. This show is not about resumes. This show is not about idols. It's about the social connections you've built with people, how you treat people on their way out, and how those people, you know, decide ultimately at the end how much stock they're going to put into how you treated them and how you voted them out and all that. It's not, you know, yeah, you could be the nicest person ever, but do I think that Keith Nail beats Jeremy at the end in Cambodia? Probably not, because there's the jury has their own set of rules that they vote on. Every juror has their own set of rules that they vote on. And for people to say, oh yeah, the jury was in collusion to make sure that Russell didn't win, it's like, no, everybody, yeah, maybe some of them sat there and said, hey, this is what we're not going to do. But you still, at the end of the day, are making your own decision. You're deciding who's going to win $1 million. And they decided to give it to Natalie in that situation. And I've always valued that one episode of that season, because I'm not a big Samoa fan, but I've always valued that one episode of that season because I feel like it fully encapsulates what the jury is about. The jury is about what they perceive from the game, and not really, you could say whatever the fuck you want up there as a final three or two, it's ultimately how the jury perceives what you said and what you did to them in the game.
I think what people don't like is this idea that the jury gets together and thinks together. But, like, they just all went on this experience. They all just, you know, they experienced something that nobody else can relate to. This is actually something I find when I help these live games and I'm participating in them. You can never have the experience that the players have with each other. Some people, yes, on production like to think that they're a part of, like, oh, I'm right in the middle of all this, but you're not, because these people all connected and bonded with each other in a way that is interesting and cool and unique, but, like, you know, unless you were right in the middle of it, you're not a part of it. And so when the jury gets to Ponderosa and people come in and people are being comforted, like, and everybody's going to...
the alcohol starts flowing.
Everybody's going to start making their own decisions at the... Everyone will make their own decisions at the end of the day at Final Tribal Council, but you want to start gaining other people's perspectives. You want to start knowing what other people were thinking or what was going on. And I think that Survivor is whatever the jury creates it to be, whatever the cast creates it to be. That's why, like, Jeff Probst hates some seasons, because the cast makes it something that he doesn't want it to be.
Yeah.
But that's not, like, what the game is. The game is not, you know, hey, vote for somebody who followed these exact rules. Like, there's no rubric to winning Survivor. And I,
except for talk to the jury. The jury decides. That's really the
Yeah.
Jury decides. Do what you want, but the jury is ultimately going to decide it.
I mean, and that you're not wrong, and that's why I love Eric's speech so much in Samoa. But I also kind of love Natalie White's win, and it frustrates me when her win doesn't get any credit in the edit. I didn't mean to make that rhyme, but it did. Because it basically cements this idea in viewers' heads that you have to be big and flashy and aggressive to win, and if you're not, then you're not doing a good job. That's actually why I do love, in some ways, Australian Survivor. Because so many people play the long, long game. They have to, because like if you're too flashy or too big or in charge, you go home because there's like 50 fucking days. And that's why, to me, you have to understand that every Survivor winner has merit and they were chosen by the people on that season to win. I certainly think that lots of more players deserve respect for the games they played, especially, you know, a lot of zero vote finalists. I feel like it in
Hannah Shapiro.
Yeah. Hannah, honestly, I have a lot of respect for Julie Rosenberg, and I feel like nobody else does, but I do. And this is, like, to me, people forget that Survivor is, like, social experimenty, whatever Jeff Probst likes to.
It's social strategic, not strategic social.
Right.
And social bonds are the things that will ultimately probably win you the game. The strategy, yes, some people will vote based off of that, but if you didn't make going to 35.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I go to 35?
No, please. Let's go to 35 and hustle.
The first things first, Survivor did not add a final four fire making to help Ben win the game, because if they're going to help some jabroni named Ben who's never played Survivor before win the game, and they won't help people like Ozzy or Joe or Suri win the game, people that it's very clear they keep bringing back because they want them to win, they're not going to rig it for some first-time player. It's like, oh, the other chooses, well, he's a vet. I'm like, there's been many vets. There was a vet, he wasn't a vet, but Ken in Thailand was a 9/11 first responder. So I feel like in any situation that's rigged, you might want to rig it for the guy that was there on 9/11. I'm just saying. So for anyone that's saying that the final four fire making was added in HHH to help Ben win, you're wrong. I'm not going to go anything farther than that.
Well, honestly, I was just going to say, I think it was added because of 33. I think when you look at what changes are made in Survivor, you have to look at a couple seasons beforehand to see what went wrong, to see what Jeff Probst wanted to change.
I think it was because of what happened in 32.
Interesting.
I think 32 and 33. Never mind. I think what happened in 32 changed 34, how the jury speaks to the people.
Yes.
To the finals. Okay, yeah, you're right. So we get to the final fire making challenge and Ben wins, and you know, Ben's sitting at the end, but he's sitting next to two people that have played pretty good to great games, and Chrissy and Ryan. And you know, the thing becomes, oh, well, Ben only got to the end because he was fighting idols. So what? You know, Mike Holloway got to the end because he was winning immunities. Does the physical game just not matter anymore? Mm-hmm. Or Tina Wesson or all these other people got to the end because of their social bonds. Do those just not matter anymore? Does only strategy matter to these people that say this person didn't deserve to win because they idled themselves to the end, or they won immunity out to the end or whatever, or they rode coattails to the end? I feel like where these people, they only zero in on the strategy. And if they didn't have the strategy, they don't deserve to be there, which is bullshit, because not everyone is a strategic mastermind. Not everyone can build bonds with people socially. And clearly not everyone can do physical challenges and or find idols. So Ben, yes, idles his way to the point of the game where he runs out of idols to play. He has to win final fire making challenge. But I feel like even then at that three, I thought that Chrissy was going to win going in. One, because she won as many immunities as she did. But two, I did feel like she had not, I won't say redeemed, because she did go from like hero to survivor villain throughout the season. But I felt like people would respect it. But there's a part of that there's a part of that final tribal where I think she specifies that she's never made the bonds that she needed to do it. And it's like, that's it right there. Like, everyone's saying, like, well, Ben and Chrissy are both saying this, but I feel like Ben's is coming off as more genuine, as I feel bad that I didn't make these bonds that I should have, and I was just more focused on keeping my ass safe. And I feel like I felt like people respected that more. Like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah, we were all trying to get rid of him, and that's why he had to do what he had to do. He couldn't get time to build these bonds. So do I like Chrissy? I love Chrissy. She's one of my Survivor crushes. But I don't feel like she was robbed there. I just think that she lost in a close vote to someone that the jury felt more, I guess, close to, felt like they needed to do better than her to win the game. But I don't think it was production saying, hey, this guy is a Marine and he's a vet and he's got PTSD, so you guys should vote for him. And we're going to add this fire-making twist. Because in reality, Devin could have won the fire. Like, Devin could have won it. He didn't.
I Big Brother is shady and I don't trust it. But I feel like Survivor, at the end of the day, right? They can produce a storyline out of nowhere, and they can create something on their screen. But like, the mechanics of the game are almost always figured out ahead of time. Like, they have the props made. You know what I mean? Like, they don't just slap together the idea of do or die. And it's the same with everything. They pick how many people there are going to be. They pick where the tribes are, when they're going to swap, all this stuff. And so to say that, like, Ben got lucky.
Certainly. Ben got lucky, yes. Ben very much got lucky.
But also, this is the parameters in the game. And, like, what you were saying about Chris Underwood much earlier of, like, you know, Chris Underwood did win because that was the parameter of the game that was presented to him. You can come back and win if you are able to. And obviously, there should have been, like, some, you know, my hot take is that EOE isn't that bad if you just have it be a merge return and nothing else. But that was the game that Chris was presented to. He was given an idol by production. Like, these are things that I think production knew as well, as say, like, hey, they're going to come back in and we don't want them to go out. Well, it's final six. So what do we do? Give him an idol? I don't fucking know. But he won within the parameters of what was offered to him. I think the parameters are dumb, but I'm not going to discredit the idea that his win is like these people are just trying to win Survivor. You know what I mean? Like, when people attack Chris or they attack even like Michelle for essentially winning, it's like they wanted to win $1 million. Like, that you're gonna give that opportunity. Did what they had to do. Like,
you can't sit here and say that you wouldn't do the same thing. Like, talking to them, not you. Yeah. But going off the Chris Underwood thing, the only reason I have him at the bottom of my winners list has nothing to do with, you know, I think that he's a deserving winner because he won. Period. Yes, he only played like a day and a half or something, whatever it was on the show. That's probably why he's at the bottom. But like you said, within the realms of the rules for EOE, and if you come into a season and they say, these are the rules this season, you have to follow those rules. And the rule stated, if you get voted out of the game, you have, well, they don't know this part, but you have two chances to get back into the game. And so Chris Underwood did what he had to do to get back into the game. And once he got there, they could have sent his happy ass packing. They could have lied to him or whatever to convince him that he wasn't going. See ya. The fact that he survived until the final four to do the biggest move of the season and challenging the odds on favorite to win the season to a fire making challenge earned him that win. Yes, he only played however many days, but he saw, you know, he perceived what the jury was looking for. He perceived that Rick Devens was the winner of this season if he gets to the end. So he fixed it. He fixed his problem by removing Rick Devens from the game and sitting at the end with the two people that you have the best chance at beating. Now, if you lose, okay, cool. At least you put yourself in the best spot to win the game. And going back to what you said earlier about the legacy advantage of 13-6, yes, the rule sucks for Edge of Extinction. If they're going to do it, bring back one person at merge. Same thing with legacy advantage. If you're going to do it once, do it at somewhere early merge or like right before the merge. So what? if I feel like people will complain that, you know, Chris Underwood only played a certain number of days. I know so many Rick Devens fans that I'll sit there and say, but would you have wanted him to win? It's like, yeah, of course. It's like, but he got voted out, which is your excuse for why you don't like Chris Underwood. And if we want to go farther back, blood versus water, you know, if Tina Wesson wins that season, do people complain that she didn't deserve to win because she got voted out? I think not. In South Pacific, Ozzy came back two or three times. And I feel like if he had gotten to the end, he would have won. People wouldn't have complained. If we go back to Pearl Islands, Burton comes back. And if Burton's sitting next to Lil at the end, Burton's probably winning.
Well, Lil also comes back. And Lil
Burton or Lil win. The reason I said Burton is I don't feel like people would have back. I feel like if Lil had won, people would have complained about it because they have to find reasons. But I do think that if Burton had won, there wouldn't have been backlash to it. And so what is it about Chris Underwood that makes these people so pissed off? And I think it's because there was this other person on the season that was making big moves that they just perceived them as being like the deserving winner and Rick Devens. And if this person doesn't win, then this season is a sham. And it's like, it's not like it's middle of the road for me. I don't hate it like other people do, but it's middle of the road for me. But just because Rick Devens didn't win doesn't make it less than. It just makes it, yeah, okay, the fun guy didn't win. How often does the fun guy win or the fun woman win? Often never.
I something also I feel like that is not talked about a lot or touched upon is the idea of like making the merge or even the round right before the merge, because to me I feel like there's a lot of frustration when you don't make the merge. Like, that is such a key point in time in Survivor where, you know, if your numbers are 6-5 and you're going to merge at 10 and you lose somebody from your 5, suddenly you're 4. Or, like, you know, the numbers are so crucial when you're about to merge. And I almost feel like I want more advantages that either affect the merge or affect the vote right before the merge. Because in a Survivor's game, The crucial moments are very rarely like 6-5-4, especially considering now 4 is just fire. Like, if you're thinking about like long term, how do I make sure I'm surrounded by people to make sure I'm protected going forward? The merge is a very, very crucial moment. And I'm kind of sad that we don't have more stuff. Like, the late game addition is like, you think it's climactic, but it's not. You think it's exciting, but it's not. And, it's not their fault. They're just trying to get back in the game. Like, that's that, you know, that's, I hope that if anyone listening today can understand that we are saying it's not their fault. Don't be mad at them.
It's not their fault. Don't bully people online in general, but don't go after people that were just playing a game and played it to the best of their abilities and won the game. But because your person didn't, and we will go a few seasons back to Michelle Fitzgerald, which you touched on earlier. Michelle was another winner where I wasn't yet on online Survivor community, on the online Survivor community, so I didn't know the backlash until I did my rewatch. And I realized that Michelle was hate. And thankfully, like, it seems like that hate has kind of gone away now because of her Winners at War outing. But I remember, like, I was an Aubrey fan, obviously. I was a big Aubrey fan. I've watched Ko Rong probably 7 times. I think this might be the season I've watched the most. It's not my favorite, but I've watched it a lot because it's easy to get through. And every time I watch it, I'm like, yeah, I could see how Michelle won. And I wasn't pissed when Aubrey lost. And then I got online and I realized, oh man, like, Michelle's hated. Like, people are really going at tearing to her on her personal accounts, as well as, you know, just doing the noble thing of not tagging her in things, which makes it better. And it's funny because not many seasons later, a similar winner won and he gets praised. And that's Tommy in Island of the Idols, where Tommy just played a very social game. Mm-hmm. He never went to the Island of the Idols. He never did any of these flashy things, except for, I think he played an Idol Nullifier at some point. I've only watched Island of the Idols once because of reasons.
Didn't Dean technically play the Idol Qualifier?
Okay, it might have been Dean. Maybe yeah, Tommy.
That's the thing. I don't think Tommy did anything. And not in a bad way. I don't think he did anything that would be considered like
big moves.
Hashtag big moves. Except for like surviving that tribal where he almost went home.
So the fact that Tommy got praised and Michelle didn't. Yes, but that could lead to a totally different discussion that we do not have time for. But it's interesting to see how both games, which were very similar, were perceived. And if we want to go even farther, you have Tommy, who's loved. You have Michelle, who was hated and now is starting to be loved again, or loved now. We go all the way back to season 4 and the first instance of Rob, Goddess, and Kathy, which that wasn't me saying I don't like Kathy. Kathy's fine, whatever.
Kathy was Rob. I'm pivoting. Kathy was Rob.
Yeah, that was like one of the first instances of that, and people shit on Vesepia's win in Marquesas, which I've got very strong opinions on Vesepia's win in Marquesas, mainly that it was next to the Emancipation Proclamation, the biggest thing that ever happened to the Black community was Vesepia winning Marquesas. I was in my mom's hair salon. It was a big moment. We all saw it.
Wow.
But getting on the internet, the internet's a horrible place. Getting on the internet and realizing that people hate Vesepia and think that she robbed Kathy of a win, even though all she did was promise Kathy one thing, and then in a situation where she could potentially go to the end with not Kathy, she decides not to, and you know, makes the deal with Nalia to get her to the end. It's like, oh, Kathy was robbed. She should be the one sitting at the end. It's like, but once again, you guys love Russell Hands for doing this stuff, but you're gonna hate on this woman for doing the exact same thing. She lied to us. Oh, well, she presented herself as overly religious or whatever. And yes, at that final tribal, people tried to attack her for bringing religion into her game. And she said, I'm not the most religious person, but what has always stuck out to me is when she said, that's between me and God. It has nothing to do with y'all. I have to deal with that after this. I lied to y'all, but I played y'all, and I think I played the better game between the two of us. I think you deserve it. But all people see is, oh, Kathy was robbed because this woman, she lied to her and said this. It's like, okay, yeah, people lie all the time in these games. Kathy wasn't robbed. She just fell for something and it didn't work for her. And then we get to All Stars and she's still saying, oh, I was robbed in my first season. You really bought into the bullshit, didn't you?
Like, people really do be the main character of their narrative on Survivor, huh?
God, it's so frustrating. They buy into the bullshit that they read online. Like, oh yes, these people are right. I was robbed. You're not. Oh, you weren't. Fuck your fans. I'm sorry.
Is there anybody else that we should touch upon as a Survivor winner in this instance?
I mean, quick fire. Amber did a better job of making friends with people than Rob was. Yes, people were pissed off at Rob, but sorry, you lost by a vote, so it's not like people hated you that much. Danny Boatwright, I don't know why people are against Danny Boatwright, but fine. Sophie Clark, coach is a crazy person. Coach basically talked himself out of winning the game. Sophie said what she needed to do, what she needed, and Albert was never going to win. And Erica, once Ricard is gone, I feel like Erica is the odds on favor to win, period, especially after what Deshaun pulled at final 5 or final 6 with blowing up everything. I feel like at that moment, Erica wins the game as long as no one is smart enough to get rid of her.
Yeah.
So, and it's ironic, it's so ironic that the majority of the people that I just touched on there, with the exception of Chris Underwood and Ben, are female, and it's a very shitty perception of certain female winners that they rode coattails or they didn't do anything or whatever the case is. When, like you said earlier, there is no set guideline on how you win the game. You know, there's no time limit, you know, like a sport, there's no time limit. There's no goal that you're trying to reach except for win jury votes, however you can. And if your best option is to like put someone out in front of you and say, hey, this person's a piece of shit, I'm not, vote for me, you have $1 million and this person doesn't. And neither does any jabroni sitting at home watching the show who thinks you don't deserve to win.
Period. Also, like, if you have $1 million, I think Erica just made a TikTok the other day that was like, when people who haven't won Survivor tell me that I don't deserve to win Survivor, it's like, why should I listen to you? And it's true. Why should she? She looks like she's living her best life. She doesn't need anybody's opinion but her own, I guess. Okay, here's a person. I was going in my brain the list of winners. And the only person I could think of that I was like, I don't really know what my argument would be, is Bob from Gabon.
Well, Gabon is just a
clusterfuck of a season. A
dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Like Gabon is one of those, like, it's like for any anime fans out there, it's almost like filler. It's like, oh yeah, here's a story arc that doesn't matter to anything that ever happens again. But here it is. Here's Gabon. We're going to put 18 people out there. Maybe two people know what they're actually doing. And let's just see what kind of chaos happens. And there's a lot of chaos. And Bob sits next to Susie, who I thought going into Final Tribal was probably going to win. And Sugar, who I know Sugar gets a lot of hate, but she, you know, was able to maneuver her way from Alliance. She was able to flip-flop basically all the way to the end. I think that Bob had a horrible Final Tribal performance. I think probably the worst of any winner, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, he had the immunity wins. Everyone loved him. Like he never did anything to overly piss off people. And the one instance that he did when he gave Randy the fake idol, he said what he needed to do say at that Final Tribal, where either Karen or Randy or somebody asked him, what's something that you regret or like something in the game? And he said, yeah, I hated the fact that Sugar and Crystal and all these people were laughing at Randy when he played there. I thought that was very inappropriate. And I think that probably got him a lot of votes just because, you know, yes, Bob's another person at the bottom of my list, but I don't bottom of some random schmuck on the internet's list of winners doesn't mean that I don't like Bob, because I actually love Bob. It's just more from what I saw. Yeah, he's like 37 or something on my list of 41 now. But that doesn't take away from anything that happened in that season. It doesn't take away from the fact that he won.
I feel like This is my hot take that I formulated while being on this podcast with you, is that if you're going to get to Final Tribal Council, you need to know how to suck up to the jury better. And there's nothing wrong with lying in Final Tribal Council. Now, this is different than, like, you know, if somebody says, hey, why, you know, if you can't own up to what you've done, that's one thing. But like, I found in so many situations in like orgs, people would be like, what's your biggest regret? And I'll just be like, who do I think might vote for me? This person. Letting this person go home. Like, just fucking lie. Like, what do you... who's going to fucking...
You're still playing the game. You're still playing the game.
You're just trying to win over jury votes. Like, I feel like so often people are like, I'll tell the whole truth. And they just look like an ass. And, like, they just fully show themselves. But, you know, it is what it is. Andrew, anything else before I have to ask you the most important question of the entire podcast? Any other thoughts? I'm happy to keep going. It's just a...
If you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, this person, he didn't talk about this person, or they didn't talk about this person, just reach out to me and I'll tell you why you're wrong. Every person that's ever won a season of Survivor deserved it, period. That's all it is. They did what they had to do in their season. They appealed to the right people. They played an idol. They did whatever it is in order to win the game. And I understand people have opinions, and yes, opinions, you know, suck, but I think that people need to get off of this train of this person didn't deserve it. It's like, okay, you go play and you you play exactly like this person did and you win the game like that. If it works, cool. Maybe you have a defense for it. If it doesn't, shut the fuck up. That's all I have.
Well, Andrew, it's a great point. I'm so glad that you could join me today. The big question of the hour. When is the last time you watched School of Rock, Mike White's masterpiece?
Last time I watched School of Rock, what year were we in? 2022. So probably about 2009. What I remember from School of Rock is Sarah Silverman's in it because she was like one of my first crushes as a teenage / adult male. So I know Sarah Silverman's in it, and I know Mike White is in it, you know, obviously.
You do be in it. Yeah.
And yeah, that's Jack Black. I don't know. Mr. Schneebly. Yes, I know all that.
I would highly recommend you watch it again, but I'm glad you've at least seen it once. Some people come on this podcast and I've never seen it. So
that's it. No, I saw it in theaters and I saw it a few times on DVD as I was younger. And then, yeah, like I said, I think my freshman year of college may have been the last time I saw it. It was, 2009, 2010.
All right. Well, highly rec. Other than that, Andrew, what do you have going on? What do people need to do to find out more about you and follow along with all the amazing content you're putting out there these days?
Well, first of all, follow Reality Pop on YouTube and not Instagram. I guess you could follow on Instagram too. Instagram, Twitter, iTunes, Spotify, all that jazz. Basically, if it has a thingy, you can follow it. Make sure to listen to Reality / Survivor Hot Takes with me and Emily. We are doing our last episode of our 4-part Black Winners and Survivor coming up this Wednesday. We're talking about Wendell. So I'm rewatching Ghost Island right now, sadly. But I think I love Wendell. Wendell's amazing. After that, we're going to be doing hot takes on every episode of Survivor 42. So not a recap, just more of a things that happened in the episode that we have opinions on. And in May, or roughly whenever the season ends, I will be doing a live stream of me doing 42 seasons in 42 days to go off of my 40 seasons in 40 days thing that I did during the beginning of COVID. So that's all I have. Naomi, thank you so much for having me on.
You know, I am thrilled to have you here. I'm so excited. And I'm also very excited for everybody to check out Survivor New Year 5 when it comes out. But Andrew, yes, Thank you for everything. Thank you for being here. And also, you know, there are a lot of people behind the scenes at the Survivor Diversity Campaign. But I said this to Gia, and I'll say it to you, that you guys constantly push television forward, and it's so important. So if you right now are listening and you do not follow the Survivor Diversity Campaign, get your fucking shit together and go follow them and be a part of what is actually important in television.
Make sure they don't drop the ball after 42 and say, oh, we gave you this. So we're
drop the floor, right. Drop the ball. No. Andrew, yeah. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you guys for listening. I don't know. Subscribe, rate, whatever. Let's just have a great rest of our day. Thank you, everyone, and goodbye.